Having said that, we know that there are many Belarusians talking about the importance of this age, I mean, for people when they are teens or youth. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, addressing one of his companions, say that pay attention to the youth, because when it comes to the good actions, they are in the first line. And also when it comes to the acts of worship, Imam says that when a youth recites the Quran, then the Quran would be mixed with his flesh and blood. It's a kind of metaphor.
It becomes a part of him or her.
Exactly. And then God will include him among the great prophets. And this is how great status of a person who is in his or her youth. And then they are able to control themselves.
Who practices piety in their youth.
Exactly. In the Noble Quran, we have the example of the people of the cave. We know that all of them were among the youth. Many of the prophets were chosen as prophets when they were youth. And also the same is true about many of our imams. So what are some practical points? First of all, Islam is against suppressing the sexual desires. We do not have, monasticism in Islam. Islam is against that. Islam is against celibacy. Islam does not recommend that. But at the same time, for people to control their passions, there are a couple of practical tips and points mentioned in the verses and narrations. And hopefully, they can help our dear listeners. So there are some general points, as you rightly mentioned. One of them is taqwa. This is a very general concept, God-wariness. To know that always you are seen by God. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allaha yara. Does not man know that he is seen by God or she is seen by God?
So that is to improve your self-control.
Yeah. Exactly, definitely. And also having faith, these are some general points that are mentioned for each and every person. But, being more specific about the question of today's session, one point which is mentioned in the verses and narrations is that a youth should be always, a hard-working person. Youth is not a time for, wasting time. So the Quran and the narrations always encourage the youth to take the most out of their time. We have the example of Moses, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, mentioned in the Quran. He didn't have any property. He just went to Shu'aib and asked for a job. Mm-hmm. And we know the story mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran.
So they shouldn't stay idle.
Exactly.
The youth should have some hobbies, some activities to entertain themselves with. And also we have a proverb for that. It says that an ideal mind is the devil's workplace.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so yeah. We see that in all religions, it is considered that if you are doing nothing, if you're wasting your time, then the devil is coming to
sneak into
your head.
When we look into society, we see that people engage in hard working. They do not have at least enough time to think about.
Exactly, yes, they don't even have the time to
thinking about those.
So a way of controlling yourself is to be
involved and engaged
in different sort of jobs.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
The other concept mentioned in the, I will come to more practical tips. Right now, I'm just talking about some theoretical points mentioned in the verses and narrations. We have the concept of iffa or chastity mentioned in the verses and the narrations, encouraging all the people. This the same story of Musa alayhi salam talks about one of the daughters of Shu'aib, who, when coming to Musa alayhi salam, the Quran says, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا, one of them came to him, تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا, even for her walking, she was practicing chastity.
Yeah.
And nowadays we know exactly what it means. It's very possible for a person to walk with or without chastity, or for any other action. For chastity can show itself in
exactly
every
it can
gesture.
Be manifested in different forms.
Exactly, the way we talk, the way we
dress, the way you talk, the way you do your job.
So for this, we have the example of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. So he was also a youth, and he was able to commit that great and major sin, but he was able to be away from that through chastity.
And something is for sure, that when a youth finds refuge in Allah's company, mm-hmm. then Allah would help them. Of course, he would protect them from all the sins that
this
might get into their way.
This is a very good point. And this is a promise, a divine promise mm-hmm. mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, that for those people who, I'm paraphrasing, of course, if they come one step, mm-hmm. God will come 10 steps forward.
Yes, of course. If then you have a strong link with God, then that link is going to protect you.
Exactly. The other point mentioned in the Quran and narrations is remembering the Day of Judgment. I think, many of us, we take this, so to speak, theoretical point very lightly, but they are very practical. Mm-hmm. If we remember on a daily basis that there is a kind of end to this life, we will all pass away, and there is eternity out there. So for sure, at least in the long term, it will change our attitude toward life. So another practical point for all of us, especially the youth, to be away from the sins related to sexual desires is to remember the Day of Judgment, remember death.
And also, I guess, they should not expose themselves into some situations that would get them into sin.
Exactly.
Those so get away from all the temptations. Mm-hmm. This is the first step.
I will come to those more mm-hmm. practical points, and that is one of them for sure. I talked about being engaged in different activities, and also the Quran encourages all the people, especially the youth, to be engaged in learning, and at the same time to purifying themselves, tazkiyah and tahleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fact that the Holy Prophet came to the people to purify them and to teach them. And the Holy Prophet said that...
Well, by the way, we have only 1 minute.
Okay, sure. And the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam told his companions that, I do not want to see the youth, addressing all the Shias and all the Muslims, I do not want to see you except for one of the following states, either as a scholar or as a student, meaning that either you are a scholar, you know, and you need to teach, or you need to learn knowledge. Otherwise, you are wasting your time and you are committing a sin. And that is why we have in the narrations that most of the companions of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, are among the youth. So these are some of the, so to speak, theoretical points mm-hmm. mentioned in the verses and narrations for all the people, especially the youth, to be able to control their passions
and
lustful desires. Mm-hmm. But for the more practical, inshallah, I will discuss that in the following session.
Inshallah. So youth is the prime of everyone's life. Do not destroy it with sins and blacken your heart with that. So you are listening to Arab English Radio. I hope today's episode was fruitful enough to help you with a better understanding of Islamic concept. For more information, you can visit parstoday.com. Until next session and a new episode of Q&A on Islamic Belief, may Allah protect and bless you all. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
June 22, 2021, the U.S. government took down a range of Iranian news websites. The most prominent among them, Press TV, the country's 24-hour news channel in English. Press TV's users were faced with this message. The domain PressTV.com has been seized by the United States government in accordance with a seizure warrant pursuant.
Press TV do.
The channel was launched in 2007 with the motto of the Voice of the Voiceless. Since the very beginning, the news channel has always tried to shed light on major regional and global issues from perspectives either ignored or distorted by the mainstream media. Over the past years, the channel has repeatedly been subject to censorship on multiple platforms, including Twitter and Instagram, besides Google and its services. For example, it was in mid-January 2020 that tech giant Google permanently removed Press TV UK's YouTube channel. The channel had over 28,000 subscribers on its YouTube account at the time of its deletion.
All the Western propaganda about media freedom, freedom of speech, and so on really is. The truth is they want their overweening narrative to completely dominate the public discourse so that decisions made about Iran, war and peace, sanctions, not sanctions, the nuclear deal or not, they want those decisions to be made with an uninformed public.
A few years earlier, in 2013, Press TV was forced off the air in the UK after media regulator Ofcom revoked its license for allegedly breaching the Communications Act. Shortly after, the channel was also taken off air in North America.
I don't obviously agree with everything Press TV do, but what they do do is they provide a means for dialogue and discussion and understanding of the Middle East. particularly, and not only the Middle East, but many other world issues. Now, this vital conduit of news and information is being closed off by the British government, who are blaming it all on Ofcom. The British government won't take any responsibility for this outrageous, tyrannical act.
In fact, Press TV has had a long history of poor treatment at the hands of the U.S. state. In just one case back in January 2019, the FBI illegally detained Press TV anchor Marzia Hashemi for 10 days on her visit to the United States.
Situation in the United States that individuals can be detained, arrested without charge.
I was treated in many cases worse than a common criminal, as if I was a mass murderer.
I was kidnapped. Kidnapping, transferring, shackling, imprisoning, taking off my hijab, and so many other things. They can call it legal, but we know that it is not legal. Why is it that in the jails here, that 98.5, if not more, of the people I saw were Black Americans? Why?
While it's become an everyday challenge for Press TV to deal with problems caused directly or indirectly by the U.S. government on flimsy pretexts, a number of channels such as BBC Persian and Iran International, which seek subversive agendas inside Iran via spreading misinformation, are all immune to Washington's whims. A minor case of hypocrisy by the self-proclaimed champion of freedom of expression.
Any of these countries like China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, they are demonized and their media outlets are portrayed as foreign agents, which is quite incredible. And we've seen incredible hypocrisy in the sense that not only does the U.S. government falsely dub these fact-oriented, totally fact-based media outlets as supposed foreign agents, but even on social media, which is ostensibly independent from the U.S. government, but really we know that many of these big tech corporations in Silicon Valley are U.S. government contractors that closely follow the U.S. government line. They have also been labeling foreign government-backed media outlets like RT, like CGTN, like Press TV, labeling them as controlled by the Russian government, as Google says, and Google owns YouTube. And we've also seen Twitter do the same thing, and Facebook.
The fact is, Press TV's independent journalism to set distorted narratives right across the region and the world has made the channel a strong alternative voice for the oppressed people. And that's not what the Americans can put up with.
In the Western media and the West-controlled media, you know, or the what they call the mainstream media, they portray a particular thing, a particular, you know, international problem in a particular this frame. And Iranian, the Press TV is challenging that. Probably they are providing an alternative thought. So naturally, this is a competition. So in that competition, Press TV is now facing the heat.
By way of comparison, what they've done to Press TV is a larger scale operation of what they have done to the founder of WikiLeaks and other whistleblowers across the world. Muting alternative voices at any cost. American scholar Richard Falk believes that by shutting down Press TV, the U.S. is attempting to deprive Iran of its capacity to challenge hostile propaganda and put forth its own counter-narrative of controversial events, and more generally, of peace, justice, and democratic governance.
We go behind headlines, beyond news, and into the heart of debates.
Stay with us.
Because what concerns you
concerns us.
Take another look.
See what is unseen elsewhere.
We search.
We explore.
We discover.
To bring you nothing but authentic news.
To bring you stories that the mainstream media won't tell you.
Say whatever is on your mind.
Your voice will not go unheard here.
When When Press TV was established with the motto of News Anew, the aim was to present alternative news to its audiences, the kind of topics and stories that some Western governments do not want people to know about. In late 2021, Press TV was honored to receive an award from Yemen's Prime Minister Abdulaziz bin Habtour for its prominent role in standing by the Yemeni people and exposing the crimes of the U.S., Saudi, Emirati-led aggression since the beginning of the war. That's why Yemen is rarely being mentioned by the mainstream media. And when mentioned, it's usually through distorted lenses. As a media at the service of the resistance movement, Press TV has been always lauded by freedom-seeking nations. Following a visit to Press TV on April 7, 2022, Cuban ambassador to Tehran, Alberto Gonzalez Casals, tweeted, "Today I met the vice president and director of the prestigious Press TV and Hispan TV networks. I thank both of them for their active participation in the media marathon against the U.S. blockade. An extensive program of bilateral cooperation awaits us." Press TV invests full-heartedly in efforts to find out the truth, no matter what that would cost. Trying to reach that goal in some of the world's most volatile conflict zones, Press TV personnel Maya Nasser, Sayed Farhad Taghaddousi, Habibullah Hussein Zada, and Serena Shim made the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives to reveal what is withheld from a global audience. Despite all the problems and sanctions caused and imposed by the West, Press TV will pursue its mission of being the voice of the voiceless with full force. The channel has just turned 15, and this is just the beginning.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to IRB English Radio Station. You guys are listening for a better life. With you today is your brother, Habib. Today we're going to be continuing our topic about yaqeen, this mindset that a Muslim has, this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how it affects his daily routine, how it makes his life much better. We talked about on the previous episode that how believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you in your business, in your income. Now, I want to talk about today how this situation, this certainty, affects our routine with the people around us. And it's normal, every community that a believer lives in, there's the good people and there's the bad people. There are toxic people around us, there are people who want to help us, there are people who envy us, there are people who want to aid us. It's different. There are different ways of, you know, of acting with them. And not only that, but there are, for example, people that you have to respect, people that you have to treat well, the elderly, for example, your neighbors, even though they sometimes might hurt you, your family members, your parents, for example. All these are people that, you know, take away our energy in some manner. When you deal with some certain people, you have to charge up before going and dealing with them. Your boss at work, for example, or I don't know, it could be someone who works with you. It could be your neighbor. You need this energy. You need this, patience, this drive to keep you, you know, acting good, to not go insane when dealing with such people. And again, returning to the concept of yaqeen, when you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you believe that He will reward the patience, and that this world, from the yaqeen, is to believe that this world is filled with hardship. This world is filled with imtihan, bala, exams. This world is not the final destination, but rather a path to take, a field to harvest for the hereafter. When having this mindset, whenever you deal with someone, you will have something to push you and drive you to do the good, to do the better. And of course, one must have knowledge about what is to do better. For example, in some situations, you know, you might get in a fight with one of your brothers or one of your friends or a family member, and you are the mazloom. You are the one that, you know, was harassed. It was their fault. It was not your fault. We have various sayings that state that even though it's not your fault, go and say sorry. The connection, the relationship is much more important, especially family member relationships. Go say sorry. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return to you your right. And here, if you do not have certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not have certainty on the day of judgment, you will not accept this fact. Other than, for example, that the relationship is more important than the problem. And so there are some people, for example, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam came to Imam Sadiq and told him that my family members, my cousins, my brothers, they took away my house, my land, and I can raise it to the authorities and they could give me back my land. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him, stop, don't do it, don't worry, wait, be patient. If this man didn't have this yaqeen in the Imam alayhi salam, he would have just went right away and took his land back. It's all he had. Rather, the man stayed patient, went along with his yaqeen, with his certainty in the Imam alayhi salam. And it was the year 300 or the year 131 or 41, if I'm not wrong. Waba, a plague came upon the Medina or in Kufa. I think it was in Kufa. And all his family members passed away, those who took away his land. He returned to the Imam. He told him this and that I have no family members left, that those who took away my land and my house. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their lives. Why? Because they hurt you. They hurt you. One must have certainty in this. Now, brothers and sisters, we'll be taking a short break. Please stay tuned and we'll see you after the break.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes, and we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor 'cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
There are some actions that prolong the life. There are some actions that cut the life short. The most important of them is respecting family members or connecting with family members. Doing good to your household, doing good to neighbors, charity acts. All these prolong the life. And the Imam alayhi salam emphasized a lot on this. And this really goes back to the factor of having certainty in Allah. Why? Because when you have certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, all capable, all knowing, all seeing, you know that He will do this if this happens or that happens. Even more, when you have certainty in the Imam alayhi salam, when you have certainty in the words and what they state and what they claim, you will start to act upon them more and more. And our connections with our families and friends, you know, sometimes it reaches a point where you have to control your anger, where you have to be patient. And if you do not have this certainty, this yaqeen in Allah, it's going to be very hard for you to continue. It's going to be hard for you to push and be patient and endure what these family members or these friends or these people are doing to you. You have to live with them at the end of the day. And again, for example, one of the things of certainty is the concept of rizq. Arabs before, or some people, as stated in the Holy Quran, لا تقتل أولادكم خشية أملاك, that do not kill your children in fear of poverty. There are some people who, because of their non-certainty in the Creator and the hereafter and punishment and the Day of Judgment, you know, they might claim that they have it, but their actions lie. And and it shows, especially when they do these actions, these horrendous actions. Why? Because out of fear of, you know, poverty, out of fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give them wealth. Rather, a person with certainty knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave his creations in this manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread the wealth and gives the wealth of everything, everything that moves, everything that lives. And of course, if it does not reach and there are some hunger situations, it's because the people stole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the money, sent the cash, sent the wealth, sent the needed food. But the people, they themselves denied it from reaching to the poor. And there's this story that also has to do with Muawiyah. He was standing and people were telling him that we are poor and whatnot. There's no money, no nothing. We need money. He says that you guys have a problem with poverty. Go ask Allah, go tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam stood up and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the wealth. But the thing is that he said it's in your hands now and you have to give it back to the Muslimin. So this certainty, this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this mindset that you have when acting and when interacting with society really helps you. You know, the way that you smile when you see a believer, the way that you hug them, the way that you, you know, greet them, the way that you tell them to come over, the way that you honor them with honor the guests, the way that you act when someone comes to, for example, marry your daughter, when you go to marry someone. This mindset that you have, it really helps you in achieving a better life. Thank you guys for joining us on Arab English Radio Station. You guys have been listening for A Better Life. From now until another show, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share, he
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny, said, "May Allah's mercy not be upon the parents who, with their words or their actions, do not upbring a child correctly." So parents do have a role in upbringing the child. And in this program, we come up with all the important things parents need to know about Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us a guest speaker who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University, who heads an Islamic institute in Qom and teaches Islamic studies. We have had this pleasure to invite Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Naqvi, in our previous episodes, we talked about domains of behavior, and you in detail mentioned that not only faith is important to have that expected behavior, actions are also required. And you gave examples from the addresses of Supreme Leader as well. So is there anything you would like to add on the domains of behavior?
Yes, thank you very much. As I was saying, behavior is the emanation, is the manifestation of faith.
Yes.
Good behavior has to emanate from good from faith.
Yes.
And taqwa.
Yeah.
Iman and taqwa.
Yeah.
And whatever is based on faith, whatever is for God, it has to be in the excellent manner possible.
Yeah.
I mean, the very fact which I want to emphasize upon is that when you say we do something for our Lord,
yeah,
for Allah Almighty, because Allah Almighty is perfection,
yeah,
is pure perfection,
yeah,
is supreme perfection,
utmost, yeah.
So being like Him is to try to strive to become excellent.
Okay, so in order
if you want to offer your prayers, just talking about prayers,
yeah.
If you pray and you don't take care of all the rules and all the etiquettes of
guidelines
praying,
or etiquette,
the timings and whatever, the Quran says, reprimands you. Waylul lil musallin.
Yes. How will they so pray?
Woe betide you, prayers. You are praying, you're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
You're not taking care. You're not paying attention to one.
Yeah.
It's not excellence.
Yeah.
So Allah Almighty wants us to achieve excellence. So
excellence.
The behavior that He wants from us is mm-hmm. good behavior in the best possible way. Imam Ali alayhi salam, mm-hmm. master of the faithful, says, it is narrated, and he's quoted as saying that Rahimallahu Imran amila amalan fa ahsana. A person,
mercy.
May Allah have mercy upon a person who carries out a deed and he does it in the most possible, best possible way.
The best possible
with excellence.
Way. Yeah.
With ihsan.
Yeah.
I mean, the notion of ihsan in Quran is not dealt with correctly, generally.
Yeah.
The general understanding of ihsan
yeah.
is doing something good for
good
others.
Orders.
No. It's not that. That is not only ihsan.
Okay.
Doing anything for our Lord in the best possible way.
In the best possible way. I'll talk to you on that note after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're talking about Islamic upbringing with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Salman Naqvi.
Even we can do ihsan for us towards ourselves.
Yeah.
Any behavior which is for our Lord, it should be in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Good behavior, the best possible way.
Yeah.
And therefore it requires the ingredients of good behavior, knowledge, know-how, insight, attitude,
yeah.
feelings, emotions, because
all
emotions
those elements
will change into conation. Conation is that state of our minds
yeah.
or inner selves where we are about to carry out that action.
Yeah.
When we talk about intention, pure intention, what is pure intention? When we say we have to have an intention, pure intention, niyya, for carrying out good practices. Niyya is for our Lord. Our Lord, as I said, is utmost excellence, supreme excellence, absolute excellence and perfection. Doing anything for our Lord is doing things in the best possible way. Now, this behavior, this apparent behavior, which emanates from faith, from within, based on no knowledge and feelings, and the skills also required for any behavior. I mean, when you pray, you are reciting the Quran. The recitation of the Holy Quran in the prayers requires skills.
Yes.
These, when we move your lips, your tongue, your and all the movements that are carried out from within, from our in our vocal cords.
Yeah.
These are all
skills. Yeah.
So, when you're talking to your child,
yeah,
that requires skills.
Yeah.
You want him to talk properly. That requires skills.
Yeah.
You want him or her to speak grammatically, correct English or Urdu or Persian. That requires knowledge and skills.
Yeah.
You want him to be a good student. Being a good student requires good study, knowledge and skills about how to study properly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not a good student yourself, you don't read a book every night before going to sleep, for example, how do you expect
your child
to be a book reader? So the skills of book reading, the knowledge, the know-how of skill of books reading has to be developed by ourselves if we expect our child to be a book reader, a good student. So now the best behavior has to be carried out. What are the domains of that behavior? They encompass every aspect of our lives.
Yes.
And broadly speaking, as I mentioned, we have four types of relations.
Okay.
Broadly speaking, we have four types of relations. One is the specific relation with ourselves.
Okay.
With other human beings.
Okay.
And the environment. Yeah. How we deal with the non-living objects in this universe.
Okay.
The water, the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
the land, the mountains, the deserts, how we protect them, how we manage them, manage our relationship with them, how do we avoid pollution, how do we manage our affairs with the plants and animals, living beings.
Mm-hmm. And what is the fourth one?
The environment. The fourth one is our relationship with our Lord.
Our Lord, okay.
Allah Almighty. Mm. Now, there are two levels of that relationship.
All right.
One is the specific relationship, the devotional practice, worship, while we're praying, which we are supposed to do. I mean, we have to devote a certain part of our everyday lives, every week, every month, every year. There are certain liturgical acts which we have to carry out, acts of devotion, daily prayers, weekly du'as, ziyarats, yearly fasting, yearly going to Hajj.
Okay.
These are the specific level which we want to train our children in. And then the higher level of relationship with Allah, which covers all our relationships.
Yes.
Everything for our Lord, whether it is our specific relationship with Allah Almighty, whether it is our relationship with ourselves, other human beings, and the environment. Everything is for the sake of Allah.
All right.
And for the sake of achieving His proximity, excellence. All
right. Yes. So there are these four major relationships. I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are talking about different domains of behavior that we expect from our children, and we talked about four relationships that are extremely important that we are going to guide to our children. But before we guide anything to our children, Mr. Naqavi, you said parents need to have that information, that education themselves as well. For example, I meet a lot of parents, and if you teach them, if you try to guide them, this is not the way, this is the way, even if they are elder to you, or you try to tell some elder person, behave with my child this way, the unexpected answer that comes from our cultures mostly is that, how when I brought up the children, how when I given birth to children. But what we conclude from these discussions is that giving birth is not enough as a parent about parenting. So in order to, if you want to do correct parenting, you need to have education and you need to know all these domains of relationships yourself.
Yes, basically, I mean, as an educationist, yes, we need to know that. I mean, now one would say that why should I learn all these things for becoming a parent? Yes, if you're talking about education, formal education, you're correct.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about informal education, why should I know all of this?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know it by, I mean...
you should not expect that output from your children.
Exactly. Or at least you should know these things without knowing the terminology.
Yeah.
I mean, within all these domains, again, you have subsets also.
Yes.
But we know them as a part of our general knowledge of things.
Yeah.
We know them. We don't pay attention to them. When we say six elements of behavior or the four domains of behavior, mm-hmm. when we're talking about that, everyone knows about these things.
Yes.
But when we want to formalize these things, when we want to bring them down on paper,
yeah.
we want to make a textbook or we want to make a course outline, we have to mention these things.
Yeah.
Just as we are doing so for this discussion,
yeah.
we're making a course outline.
Yeah.
Now, this does not necessarily require formal education.
Formal education.
Non-formal education is also enough
yeah.
for becoming a good parent before yeah. getting married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is obvious. If you want to even go for a drive, learn to drive, you need to take a driving course for that.
Yes.
So this important feature of our lives, one of the most important features, rather, it is an expression of our attribute of being creative.
Yeah.
That Allah Almighty is the creator of things.
Yeah.
All things. And He has given the human being, the parents,
yeah.
one of those attributes.
Yes.
That they become a part of that creative process.
Yes.
So that is a very important thing. So we have to learn about it. Either we learn about it in formal education,
or
we learn about it in a non-formal way, or even informally.
Yeah.
If our upbringing was in such a manner that we, for example, naturally started to bring up our children in the proper way, mm-hmm. then okay.
All right.
Maybe we could have foregone formal or even non-formal education.
All right.
But now we
but
are
the
faced.
We
are faced with a situation where we are blank about these things.
Yes.
And therefore, we need to know. We need to understand that.
In order to get that better output.
The better output.
Yes.
Refining our.
And as we work on our first children, as we work on our first child, it gets really easy to work on your another child that way. I'll give you an example, like. I'm trying to teach my elder son, whenever you get into my room, knock the door. Whether I'm working, whatever I'm doing, you need to knock door before you enter the room. And unexpectedly, last night, I saw my two-year-old coming into the room, and then he went out again, and then he knocked the door and said, "Can I come in?" So it became really very easy, even for me personally, teaching that behavior, giving that knowledge, feeling, the skill to the elder one, and the younger one, copying from him, learned that automatically. So it sometimes becomes really easy if you start working with all those skills at a very early level, as you said in the previous sessions. The more early we start, the more better results we get, the more less efforts we have to do. Thank you so much, Mr. Naqavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. This was Islamic Upbringing. In case you have any questions, issues, or suggestions for our program, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. You can find our programs on our official website, that's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanullah and God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 10th, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio's programs. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And congratulations, everyone, on a very great feast. Congratulations to you on the auspicious feast of Qurban or Eid al-Adha that marks the culmination of the Hajj pilgrimage and commemorates Prophet Abraham's great sacrifice of his son Ishmael, who by the command of God Almighty was saved at the last moment. Thank you for being with us. This is Listeners Special, and here I do send my appreciations and warm greetings and gratitude to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports from around the world, including Roni Hussein from Bangladesh, Osman Ramos Reyes from Guatemala, and Bruce Lee from Australia. And as you may know, as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And let me mention the names of those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world. And then later during the program, I will read these emails. Mohammad Khaku from the US has sent us an email. Mohammad Akram Sial from Pakistan has sent us an email. Here we have received an email from India from Dr. Hemant Kumar. Bashir Solangi from India has sent us an email, and Brian Penny from the US has also sent us an email. And before the program, I was reading these emails. Most of them focus on Eid al-Adha or the Feast of Sacrifice, and they're mostly congratulatory messages. Thank you for these messages, our great listeners. So, after a short break, I will be back with these great emails. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. So, Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Let's see what Mohammad says. Dear staff, I hope this email finds you and your honored family in the best of health with the grace of Almighty Allah. Greetings and prayer for safety of Muslim Ummah, happiness, prosperity, and a good health with long life. May this special day of Eid open all doors of success, bring peace to the world. May this Eid bring you and your honored family abundant joy and happiness in your life. Salam and warmest greetings to you on this great day, Muhammad Khaku from the US. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this congratulatory message and this email to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. Thank you for this beautiful email, such nice message on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. We also wish you all the best. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings on this feast, the Feast of Sacrifice or Eid al-Adha. Thank you for writing this email to us. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Mohammad Khaku from the US, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you, Mohammad Khaku. And from Pakistan, we've received an email from Muhammad Akram Sial. Let's see what Muhammad Akram says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, I hope that you would be fine. And my club friends and I are absolutely fit and fine. I am a new listener of your service. I listen to your programs daily. I found all the programs very informative and interesting. I have a request and that is you post me a program guide and other literature. Waiting for your reply. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from IRIB English Radio from Tehran and Islamic Republic of Iran. To you, Muhammad Akram Sial, and your club friends. Thank you for writing this email to your radio station, your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. We also congratulate you on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, the Feast of Sacrifice. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings on this great occasion. And thank you for writing such an encouraging and inspiring message to your favorite radio, IRIB English Radio, as you found the programs very informative and interesting. It gives us, inspiration to continue the path of your treading. So my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And as your request for sending you a program guide and other literature at a time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio, unfortunately, is not possible. So please accept just our electronic materials. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Stay tuned, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here